And our community connection on the way next, brought to you this morning by Tallgrass Motors and by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And joining me this morning for a community connection, actually I have a couple of representatives from the Suicide Prevention Coalition. We'll start with the more familiar of the two on the radio. Good morning, Nolan Jones. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Yes, good morning, Charlie.
It's a good day in the neighborhood.
It sure is. It's a beautiful day out there, isn't it?
It is. We are happy to get to the topic in front of folks. Just again, a little bit of history for those listeners that maybe haven't caught some of our earlier programs. I'm trying to remember, it was about roughly 5 years ago that people in the area, in the county particularly, looked at our suicide number and concluded it was way too high, something on the neighborhood of twice the national average, and thought that it was something we could and should be doing something about. And that's how the coalition was built, and you've been pretty well successful from that. We haven't licked the problem yet, but we're cutting a big hole in it.
Yes, and thinking back only after that 5 years, we hopefully have got a lot of awareness out that we've been trying to do, and just to think about all the work that's being done on the federal level, and like this week in Atlanta with the opiate over.
Let's go ahead and introduce Matt, too. So I wanted to start with you, but I wanted to make sure I get both voices in here. From the Grand Lake Mental Health Association.
Yes, yeah.
And Matt, you told me your last name, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Matt Spencer.
Okay.
And I'm with Grand Lake Mental Health Center. I'm the adult administrator here for Washington County. We're just very excited with our involvement with the Suicide Prevention Coalition because of the awareness factor and what the part that plays in people getting treatment and receiving help for mental illness or suicidal ideation.
Well, and I, yeah, we talked a little bit before we went on the air, and I want to at least to mention for the listeners that I know you're among the representatives from Grand Lake that are also involved in the new mental health court, and hopefully that it's still getting rolling, but once it's off and rolling, it will be, I hope, a big help to people.
Yes, and we actually have a few participants already. We launched back in January, and we've been able to see, how we can take people that may not have had the chance or the access to receive care previously for mental illness, and be able to give them a shot, to stay outside of prison, be productive members of our community.
Well, prison is not a treatment facility, and if their situation has been caused primarily by a mental health issue, then it's nice to see if we can affect some treatment somewhere along the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting back to our topic of this morning, Nolan, again, the Suicide Prevention Coalition, and I know you and Melissa and several other people have gotten the ball rolling, but I see progress. The numbers are not where they were. They're not, I'm sure, where you would like to have them, but they're not where they were.
That's correct, and we've got away from the war days, the 22 per day that we were losing of our veterans, and back just a few years ago, and it's still with our population increasing like it is coming in, and so forth. We continue probably to do that, but we were at least getting our hand on it, and we're getting awareness out there, and we're seeing more of a willingness to talk about suicide prevention, and we hear it on the news just almost every day now, several times, and so it points out what is happening and what we need to be able to identify when we have our family members and our friends, and we're with them all the time, and how can we help them? That's where the QPR, there's a gentleman who introduced that in 1989 out of Spokane, Washington, and he has done such a wonderful job, and now there's 15 different versions of QPR, but it's been wonderful. But back in, even just back in 2014, 15 days, statistics kind of match up with us a little bit. It takes a little while to match that up. But, you know, every 12 and a half minutes, someone dies in America from suicide. And about every 15 minutes, by the time people are aware of it and start doing it, then there's 25 to 30 family members, friends, and just people who are aware of the situation by being there involved. They're trying to figure out what was wrong. This person was right there. He was doing fine. How can I possibly determine and try to figure out what is in a person's mind and the risk that they're going through? Well, the QPR process allows us to go sit down for about an hour and talk about that in a very blunt type way, and try to make us more aware of our family, our members, our friends, and at work, and be able to see when they're starting to go through that depression stage. And from there, then we can start kind of, hey, let's talk. Let's sit down. You and I talk. And for the suicide prevention and the QPRs, not to train professional people to come do this, but to be able to teach you and I to be able to stand up and say, hey, I see this person, this young girl sitting underneath that tree, and there's something wrong. Why is she there? Well, you know, we should start being able to see those things and then go ask and just talk about it and be comfortable with it.
Yeah, and you mentioned that scenario, oh, just a little while ago they were doing fine. Well, that's what we saw. But yes. Frequently they really were not doing fine.
Right. And I found through my short training here with this subject is that a person who is thinking about suicide is a person who, they're a pretty good actor, and they're only communicating with certain people. But when you at work and so forth are dealing with them, you don't see that interpersonal side that they're dealing with. And you don't know how many tasks and so many risks that are additional to that, that the person just can't do it. It's a mental health breakdown, and it takes them out of the ability to make the right decision at the right time.
It does. Now, QPR, for those, again, that haven't heard our last 5 years of conversations, question, persuade, refer. And I think that Matthew, being the mental health professional, probably better to talk about that. But there are signs people that are giving off, but verbally, and they may have a great smile on their face. But like we said, it's a great actor role, and usually they stick to the script pretty well.
Yeah, it's all about not being afraid to ask questions, not being afraid to get in there and talk to the people that you know and you love. One of the bigger risk factors that there are with suicide involves substance use. We know that about 90% of suicide attempts involve some sort of substance use or depression. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, or both, with that being said, we know that it plays a big role. And so we have to be equipped to use that and to be able to see, you know, if we know that we have a loved one that maybe is struggling with an addiction, to try to get them help. Because that's one of the more outward views that we have on somebody that could be struggling. With opioid use disorder specifically, we know that there's about a 75% chance that individual is probably struggling with suicidal thoughts.
Wow, that is, I didn't know the numbers. I just knew that they ran around together, so to speak. That's shocking when you look at the numbers that go along with that. And of course, opioids, at least initially for most people, we get it because it was prescribed for us. Tooth extraction or maybe an office procedure, have a little bit of a mole cut off our skin or something, doctor will write a prescription, and my scenario, that may not be what actually works it is, but the one that I think of is, you know, it's done on a Friday. I can't see you for 3 days if there's a problem, so let's write you, you know, a 3 to 5 day prescription when maybe only 3 or 4 or 5 pills would have been enough to get them through the weekend. But someone, a prescriber with the best of intentions, will sometimes give us more than we need. And then it's sitting in the prescription, in the medicine cabinet, rather, I've got an acre of pain, and rather than reaching for an aspirin or an ibuprofen, let's go for the heavy stuff, you know, and because I feel better.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
From my standpoint, I have a background where I had a total gastrectomy, a total stomach removal, because of precancer issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, I thought opiate was wonderful.
Yeah.
Anything I could get that was wonderful. And for about 6 months to 9 months after I got out, they weren't sure how long that was going to be, but anyway, it's been 13 years now. But I had to grind up 2 pills every 2 hours and for several months. And all of a sudden, I'm hallucinating and nothing seems to be right, yeah, in the right order.
The prescription on label probably read 1 every 6 to 8 hours when needed, yeah, for pain or something like,
yeah,
that.
And thank God my daughter's a nurse, private nurse, and she comes spend about a week with me, and that really turned things around. It is so easy, though, to get off that thing. And when you talk to somebody on the street or one of your friends, and you say, they say that they've been to the doctor, and all of a sudden they are, well, how many pills are you taking a day? And all of a sudden they tell you 18 or 19. You need to get them some help real quick.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and continue our topic of conversation with the Suicide Prevention Coalition, and make sure that you know how you can get involved when we continue in just a moment.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state, and I should know. It's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Continuing a community connection on 1400 K1, and we're talking again about the Suicide Prevention Coalition, and I know there is a nationwide suicide prevention number, and somebody is there ready to answer the phone 24/7, 365. It's a national number. There may be state or area numbers that are available,
yes,
as well.
Yeah, so our national hotline, for those who need it, or loved ones that want to take note, it is 1-800-273-TALK. So that's 1-800-273-8255.
Yep.
Yes, and for a military crisis, if you'll press 1, then they'll get you a more specific person to handle what you're going through.
Our veteran population is particularly at risk. And it doesn't matter whether you served in the current conflict or if this is a holdover from Vietnam or wherever, it's a unique experience that non-veterans,
yeah,
just haven't been in that particular situation.
Yeah, and there we received a recent press release on, we're trying to find ways to better serve veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Waring with, mm-hmm, the police department, he reached out to me. We sat down and we talked. We're looking at setting up a kind of a mentor-like program with, there's a few members of law enforcement that we have in town that, mm-hmm, are actually veterans.
And they are in the process of setting up luncheons with, they're starting at Tallgrass Estates, but they want to get veteran luncheons at all the senior centers around town as well.
Yes, yeah. and just getting help, having somebody maybe that they trust that mm-hmm. They can work with.
Yeah, I think that shared veterans experience, and it doesn't matter, you serve Marine, they serve Navy, or they served Air Force. It's that common bond of you served that all of a sudden we have a common experience to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, some of the other things that are going on, I know that the police department also has been very successful administering Narcan, generic naloxone, but it's a matter. It's a way to immediate first aid when you find someone that, yes, as far as an overdose or something like that.
Yes, and what we're seeing and what we're finding out is that we really need to get that in the hands of anybody that is prescribed opiates, mm-hmm. Because there is that high potential for overdose. Narcan is just a simple spray that you can use, a nasal spray, mm-hmm. For somebody that's experiencing opioid withdrawal. We're kind of the Grand Lake Mental Health Center is the beacon for distributing this through the state.
Yeah.
We're able to provide those kits at no cost to individuals in the community that need them.
Okay, now in the past, Narcan has been only available through prescription. What documentation or how do we need to come to you to say I have a need?
Yeah, I would say you can get a hold of us through the Suicide Prevention Coalition, of course, but you can always walk into Grand Lake Mental Health Center and just ask. We don't have to know a lot of information. The state does want us to gather a little bit of demographics. Nothing, it's all anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And we also would briefly go through kind of a quick tutorial on how to use it if you ever do need to use it. And that's it. It takes a quick 5-10 minutes and we'll get you on your way.
And again, because it's a nasal spray, it's like you said, it's relatively easy to administer. I believe it's kind of similar to just a one-shot sort of thing. You get the dose, all you have to do is basically, it's more complicated than that, but basically push the button.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the dose.
Yeah, anybody can do it. It's important that if you have a loved one or know somebody that is using opiates, it's a good idea to have that in the home.
Okay. And so, Nolan, any further follow-on on that?
We've got some things here I'd also like to pass along about the... we have monthly meetings for those people who had family members or friends that have completed suicide. We have meetings that are private and confidential,
mm-hmm.
starting on the first Thursday of each month at the library at 6 p.m. And if you'd like to get any information about or additional information about that, you can contact me at 440-0052. And also, we have a monthly meeting, which is under the auspices of the Washington County Wellness Initiative. We have that on the second Wednesday of each month at the Ray of Hope. That's 2:30 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you're looking to go volunteer someplace, we'd love to have you. Just come on out and give me a call, the same number, 440-0052, if you have interest in that, and we'd be glad to have you. Also, our annual session seminar will be coming up on September the 12th. That's during the National Suicide Prevention Week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be at Bartlesville Community Center again. We'll have a daytime service for the professionals in the groups, as far as the EMTs, policemen, firemen, and so forth, that we can get all the counselors and those people in the daytime for CEUs. And we'll be getting all that information pretty well ready and able to release it here on May 8th in about 3 weeks. Again, a lot of things went on in Atlanta this week with their seminar. And if you want to go out to Google and get a pretty good update on it this week, just put in President Trump Drug Abuse Summit. And
okay.
You'll get your hour of feedback and very good informational, good quality type program.
The coalition will also present the QPR training for groups, community group, church group, anybody that wants to learn more.
Yes, and we were very fortunate and blessed by the Cherokee Nation. A couple months ago, we had the opportunity that they allowed us to, myself, to go back and kind of update my skills. And we have three new people that are in there doing that now. Denise Phelps, Cheryl Krickenberger and
Amber Thompson.
Okay.
Amber is our director, and we're really very glad to have her getting qualified now. And so that we got three new ones, and then Melissa and I are still participating in that also. So we've got five. And right after we got back from the Cherokee Tribe Dinner doing that, we have three people at three different groups that called, and they're all wanting to get into the QPR. So we're trying to schedule and get those around right now. And so if you have a group and want to do something about that, well, come right back to that same number, and we'll work you in.
Give me that number one more time.
It's 918-440-0052.
Okay.
QPR, Question Persuade, Refer.
Thank you so much, I want to continue this conversation. So next time you're in, we'll pick it up again and update
Look
the public. Again, the Suicide Prevention Coalition, they are active. They want to get your help in our community to reduce the suicide rate to as close to zero as we can possibly get it. So if you'd like to find out more, give them a call and schedule that QPR training. 55 degrees, AM 1400, K1, just about 3.5 minutes in front of 9 o'clock.
Not long ago on the Today Show, Savannah Guthrie interviewed